In Africa, three stories caught our eye this week, three countries in southern Africa, each struggling with hopes for democracy and with violent internal conflicts. In Angola, there is hope for an end to three decades of civil war. Last week brought the death of Jonas Savimbi, longtime leader of the UNITA rebel forces. Today brought news of 9 people dead and 15 badly injured, victims of the first UNITA attack since Savimbi died. In Zimbabwe, with presidential elections coming up next week, the government has charged the leading opposition candidate and 2 of his associates with treason. And in Congo, mediators have struggled for 2 years to arrange peace talks to end civil war there. Talks finally opened yesterday in South Africa, only to be suspended this morning. Stephen Morrison is director of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We asked him to start with Congo and whether there's reason to hold out hope for those talks.
The fact that they were able to assemble these 300 people that include government, civil society, and rebel representatives in South Africa, even though it's been very difficult, it's taken 2 years, that is actually reason for hope because it shows the determination of the South African government to try and move this process along. It shows the determination of former Botswana President Masire, who's leading the effort, and it shows, most importantly, the desire of the Congolese people. We need to remember that a little over 10 years ago, there was a national sovereign conference that brought together 3,000 people in Kinshasa over a very protracted period of time to debate the future of then Zaire in moving out of the Mobutu era. And that proved to be a critical turning point in changing the national culture and discourse over Zaire's future. So there is a memory, a very strong memory, a very positive memory, that this kind of intense, sustained dialogue can actually change things and bring about a liberalization and a more civil discourse about the future of this very tortured country.
Do you think that the talks, the suspension aside, do you think they will proceed? And what do you think will happen, the talks in South Africa?
One of the main problems they've had in getting these talks launched has been getting agreement between the government of Joseph Kabila, the government of Congo, and the key armed insurgent groups. They still are not there yet. One of the reasons they suspended today's talks had to do with the fact that they don't yet have a consensus for how to move ahead, who gets seated where. Joseph Kabila fears that this is a formula that's really meant to be a coup by other means, that this is a dialogue that will usher him out of power. There's also the fact that Bemba, Jean-Pierre Bemba, leader of one of the major insurgent groups in the Northeast, who controls a lot of ground, a lot of independent resources. What are his ambitions? Are his ambitions really to enter a dialogue in which he's one of many players? Or are his ambitions still to win the gold, to get to Kinshasa and seize power through other means? But this has been a very, very complicated, arduous, protracted effort, surrounded by skepticism, suffused with skepticism for good reason. But there is, I believe, in the first 45-day test, we can measure to some degree whether they make real progress, whether they are able to move towards consensus in some of the critical issues of how this country is going to be governed.
Let's move on to Angola. Jonas Savimbi, the rebel leader, the leader of UNITA, the National Union for the Total Independence of Angola, was killed Friday by Angolan government troops. Angola could indeed be a rich country, is a rich country. Savimbi was selling diamonds. The Angolan government was selling oil to pay for this conflict they've been having for a long time. What's going to happen in Angola?
This is a big moment. This is a very, very big moment for Angola. The death of Jonas Savimbi. Jonas Savimbi is a charismatic, ruthless figure who has dominated the landscape for the last 30 years plus. Now he's out of the scene. He's regarded as the key spoiler of 2 negotiated peace settlements in the last 10 years. The government is under intense pressure right now, internationally and internally, to move ahead on the peace and security front, to move ahead in bringing greater transparency over the use of its oil revenues and to get its relations with the IMF and the World Bank straight. So the next phase, the next several months, are going to be very, very important in Angolan history. I would argue that we haven't seen a moment like this, really, in the period of independence of Angola.
As it happens, the Angolan president, José Eduardo dos Santos, is in Washington talking with President Bush, talking about a ceasefire in Angola. How much military action is still going on there?
Well, there's still plenty of skirmishing out in the Far East, out along the Zambian border. It's a vast, barren zone, and UNITA controls much of the ground. There has been a call for a ceasefire by President Dos Santos in Lisbon yesterday, a very positive move. The terms of that have not been laid down nor negotiated. There's more work to be done in this period. And as that work unfolds, we shouldn't be surprised that there's going to continue to be fighting.
A word or two here about Zimbabwe to sort of wrap up this part of of Southern Africa. Election there coming up March 9 and 10, Robert Mugabe. Wants to be reelected, a repressive leadership. There are very few foreign reporters in the country. Election monitoring is sort of a lost cause. What do you think will happen in Zimbabwe?
Well, I think the odds are extremely high that these elections, if they're allowed to move forward, will lead to an enormous flare-up of violence. Mugabe has made very clear, and he's put in place all of the instruments to steal this election by whatever means and at whatever cost he bears internally and externally. And if we see this worsen, it's going to have very dire and far-reaching destabilizing consequences for Southern Africa.
If you are, this is an unfair hypothetical, but if you are sitting at President Bush's National Security Council table, and he looks at you and says, give me the short answer. What do we do about improving the chances for democracy in Southern Africa? What do you say?
I say that the test right now, the critical test in Africa on democracy, human rights, respect of the rule of law, is in Zimbabwe. And it's very late in the day. This crisis is very far along. But we need to take a position, a very public position, at a very, very high level, that speaks against tyranny, that denounces this, that stigmatizes and delegitimizes the actions being taken by the Mugabe regime, and makes clear that we will not stand by and countenance an illegitimate outcome, and that we are prepared to work aggressively and actively with the neighboring states, most importantly South Africa, to try to get the best possible outcome where it becomes possible again for there to be a democratic renewal within Zimbabwe.
Mr. Morrison, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Stephen Morrison, Director of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies here in Washington.